Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's broadcast of Firefly Willows LIVE. Our hosts this week are Tarot by High Seas, High Sea Lutmers, and John Carosella, who works with runes and animal totems. We're opening up the phone lines to our listeners for live on-air readings. Do you have a concern, or is there a situation you'd like guidance with? Get your question ready and join us by calling 1-646-716-5510 or by using the Skype button on the Firefly Willows LIVE show page at Blog Talk Radio after the show begins broadcasting. We're excited. Give us a listen. Firefly Willows LIVE, helping you find and shine your inner light.
Welcome, everyone, to our show. We're here today. I'm High C.
And I'm John.
John Carosella is here, and we are going to be available to do live on our readings for you. So we would welcome you to call in or Skype in. If you're on the show page, you can Skype in to the show if you want to call in. The phone number is 646-716-5510. So that phone number again is 646-716-5510. So feel free to Skype in or call in, and we will be happy to take your questions, to do some readings. I will be offering tarot, maybe a little bit from the I Ching, and John is offering guidance and information from the runes, as well as animal medicine totems.
Yeah.
Are you doing the she today?
Yeah, well, if they call. if they inspire themselves.
So I know that last night you said that you slept out in the forest.
I did. It was fantastic. I was up in the Santa Cruz Mountains at a fire circle, and we sang and danced and played drums late into the evening, and the sky was magnificent. The stars were just scintillating. And there was no clouds, which is not, you know, sometimes in the Santa Cruz Mountains, it gets cloudy. But it was beautiful last night. And the weather was perfect. And the fire was full of mystery. It was great.
A fire you built?
I actually did. I built the fire this time.
All right.
So that was fun.
Well, I thought somebody in Colorado listening, they might be worried that it's in the middle of a forest fire, so that's all they probably are thinking of fire.
Right? Oh, gosh, no. It was interesting. I was at the Magical Roots of Reiki workshop yesterday with Jose Figueroa Garcia, and towards the end of the day, he mentioned the role of fire. He said that we were talking about symbols, and he said that anthropologists have been able to determine, or to the best of their ability to determine, human beings did not master the power or the understanding, the ability to use symbols until after we started cooking our food. In other words, after we had mastery of fire. And some folks from the old traditions, the Native American traditions, will say that fire is the first teacher. So it's very interesting how, as we embrace the power of fire as a practical tool, it was also a vehicle for the emergence of our symbolic processing, which makes us uniquely human. You know, other than wearing clothes, the only other thing that we can really identify right now that distinguishes us from all the other animals on the planet is our ability to use symbols to represent meaning and to communicate. So somehow fire played a role in having that merge in our mental landscape.
And do you have any idea or insight to why, say, the Native Americans consider fire the first teacher?
Well, I'm not sure that it's restricted to Native Americans. You know, I think back, you know, let's just take that for truth for a minute. Let's say that that fire was our first teacher. What does that mean, and how far back do you have to go to find our first teacher? You're really talking about almost, you know, proto-humans, right? Before we were really human, we were beginning to master fire. And I was thinking about it this morning, actually, because Jose coupled it to the emergence of the ability to process and manage and manipulate symbols with the cooking of food. And I thought, oh, that doesn't quite sit right with me. That doesn't fall into place. But I can imagine that sitting around the fire cooking food, using it as a practical tool, that, you know, you spend a lot of time waiting for food to cook, and when you're sitting around the fire, you know, it's nice and it's warm, and so you're watching the fire. And I think one of the things that happens when you watch a fire is you see change happen in a controlled way more rapidly than you see anywhere else. When a fire is consuming wood, the colors and shapes, the shape of flames, the shape of the embers, the images that you can see in the fire roll past your eyes faster than when you're watching clouds, and more distinctly than when you're watching the waves. So it's almost like the fire was a particularly appropriate vehicle for us to start recognizing patterns that were not permanent. But I don't know. I'm still thinking about it. So I can imagine fire was a particularly stimulating kind of visual experience that just got our frontal cortex cooking. I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, and of course, we think of fire as something that is often used for purging. It's an element of transformation because it burns things away and allows the new to then rise from it, whether you think of a forest burning down or the idea of the phoenix. And I think that's also very applicable right now astrologically, because we're in a period that I know everybody thinks, gosh, how much harder can it get? but, you know, there's something called Uranus square Pluto, which just means that Uranus and Pluto, if you looked at them on a page, would be a 90-degree angle to each other. And that's a very, very difficult aspect in astrology.
And that's going to last a long time because those guys are way out there.
Well, right. So the further out you get, the longer their rotations take, and therefore they stay in. So this goes, it kind of started last year, but it basically goes, but we had the first, some of the things that happened in astrology, one of the first ones happened this year, just a couple of weekends ago. There's like six more, I think there's seven altogether, but it goes through 2015. And
that's long haul, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you know, because what it's bringing up, though, is not something that we can do in a moment or in a minute or in a month.
No, it's something we have to do together, isn't it?
Well, there is a very much a collective aspect to it, because when you get to what are called the outer planets, Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto, it has much more to do in some ways with the collective and how it's globally affecting things. And Uranus square Pluto is really about questioning old structures and old power, questioning old authority, challenging us to say what outmoded or outdated ways of thinking or acting no longer work, no longer serve their purpose, and are we willing to tear them down in order for something new to come along? It's not just adding something on or making a subtle shift. It's literally tearing them down. I saw one person in their description saying it's like amputation. And certainly we can see that on the global scale with a lot of the political things that are happening, et cetera, but also on a personal level. It's really a period where we are challenged to look at ourselves and our lives and say, are we living authentically to who we are and who we see ourselves becoming? Are we willing to question those things that we have either gotten entrenched into or that we are holding on to just because we're afraid of what happens if we let go of them. But it's like a house. It's not about just saying, well, maybe I need to remodel or add in another room. It's saying I need to just tear down and start rebuilding from scratch for those things that no longer work or serve their purpose for us. And so fire, I think, plays into that, although fire would be much quicker. But I think that sometimes you can use fire as you start to recognize those things and maybe you throw them in fire so that you have that visceral sense of something burning away. So literally, whether it's a thing or write it down on a piece of paper and throwing it into the fire to say, I'm releasing and letting go of this for something new to come in or to try to establish something new in its place, get that visceral feeling even from, because I think people are so fascinated by fire.
It's very fascinating. Yeah. It's very stimulating. You know, if I know many of us live in suburbia and having a fire isn't easy to do, but if you haven't sat by a fire for a while, it would be good to take the time to try to do that, because fire is a very special, it's a special thing, and it's an easy way to meditate, and it's an easy way to reach into a dimension of your own spiritual connection. It's also very beautiful. So aesthetically, it's nice too.
And, you know, another big aspect that's going on right now is we're really being faced and confronted, I'm talking from the astrological aspect, we're really being faced with, we can no longer think that something that is outside of us or doesn't affect us directly has no effect on us, nor that what we do has no effect on the world at large, simply because we can't see that direct connection or direct effect. So there's a lot going on where we are going to be reminded of how things that even are very remote still affect us, as well as we have to start thinking about what I do on a personal level has an effect on the world at large and the world around me, and I have to be more conscientious about that.
You know, I think it's getting easier. It's getting easier for us to see how that are not directly connected to us affect us, and how our own actions are affecting the world around us. And part of that is because we've instrumented the planet with this amazing thing called the internet, and we carry around these amazing devices called smartphones that can record videos and we can text one another. We can connect via things like Facebook and Twitter and so on and so forth. So events that happen far away we're suddenly much more proximate to them, and they become much more an intimate part of our lives. I know that I've been experiencing lately an increase in my sensitivity to bad news. It's like, When I hear about strife and I hear stories from the toxic political environment that we live in, it's starting to make me sick, you know, and I think it's because it's all much closer to me because of the way the technology brings it front and center, and that's not a bad thing because it compels us to be more attentive to the world around us and to the consequences of our actions. So while it does carry with it its pain and its discomfort, it carries with it a certain kind of reality, a certain kind of a wake-up call that, yeah, this is actually happening. And on the other side of the coin is my actions contribute either to the positive or the negative, to the emerging evolution of what's coming. And, you know, there's going to be some conflagrations out there, and, you know, creative destruction. Structures are going to fall apart. And so then the question becomes, where do you put your energy? There's a line in a Tracy Chapman song. I don't even remember the name of the song, but it says something like, no longer give yourself to that which you wish to be free from. And I think we can all take a lesson from that. Don't give your energy to things that you want to be free from. And find an alternative to place to put your energy, because we're going to need those alternatives to, and if you can't find one, create one, because we're going to need some of that too. And that's where the fun begins.
Well, and I think your reaction to, say, bad news, as well as some of the things you just touched on, also speak to what's happening with the Uranus square Pluto, because one of the things that it really is challenging us to ask ourselves is, how do I respond to those things in the world that I don't have control over? And when you talk about what you give energy to, a lot of times people, even when it's like bad news from the other side of the world or things that are going on in the political realm, we feed a lot of anger into those things.
We do.
And this may be about reining in that response and reaction, because ultimately, if we're reacting or responding that way, we're harming ourselves. It's not doing anything to change the situation just to get angry or bitch and moan about something, other than it's elevating our blood pressure or it's causing us to be in a state of frustration and anger and stress or whatever. And so this is also really challenging us to say, how do I respond and react to things that are outside of my control? And how do I go about restructuring or reworking my response and reaction so that I can't keep using the excuse that something inside of me is the cause and blame for how I'm feeling on a particular day or in a particular moment? So I can't say, well, I'm just really angry today because of what happened that I saw about political blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Well, no, you're angry today because you're choosing to respond that way, and you're the one going into anger. It's not the cause of the outside thing. And that's also something that's being very starkly brought up for us.
Yeah, I think so.
And on a global level, you see that, because it says how do things on a larger, as a government, respond to something. You know, it makes me think of Syria, because it's like, how do you respond when the people are starting to say, we need something different? It's not about wanting, it's saying we need something different. And if the response is always with violence, this astrological aspect can exacerbate that kind of response, because people are going to hold on to the old power structures and the old ways of responding. But it also is an opportunity to say, how could we respond differently that may be more productive, which means people have to be willing to start thinking differently and creating something new rather than just trying to maintain the old, whether on a big level or on a personal level.
I think this is really important, IC, because one of the ways my sensitivity has been manifesting itself is that my anger has been triggered. And, you know, I did a lot of work on anger, trying to understand it, understand its source. And it really comes down to, anger is a response, it's secondary emotion. You know, in acting, they say anger is cheap, because it's a secondary emotion. There's an emotion that you feel before you feel anger. Or the condition you feel before you feel anger. And, you know, I invite you guys, everybody out there to contemplate this for a bit. What I've discovered is that the feeling I feel before I feel anger, helplessness. And anger is my response to feeling helpless, because I sure as heck don't want to feel helpless. So I substitute something else. And unfortunately, helplessness, well, anger is not a constructive response in and of itself. Anger is only constructive in as much as it motivates you to take action. So here's the key. If you find yourself feeling helpless or you find yourself feeling angry, reflect on your personal sovereignty. your independence and the ways in which the world is connected to you, and take action, even if it's small. Take action to shift the feeling from helplessness to helpfulness. Move the world, even if you just move the needle a tiny bit, move the world in the direction of something constructive, something compassionate, something loving. If you respond with violence, well, and sometimes that happens, and sometimes that may even be necessary because of the way the power structures are entrenched. But there's always an option. There's always an approach you can take that will move the needle and will allow you to step out of anger into constructive behavior. So that's a thought, even as the astrological conditions are more frightful.
So there's actually a question in the chat room from someone. It's just guest 1832, whoever that might be.
Welcome 1832. We're happy to.
But they have asked, based on some of the stuff we've been talking about, what is it that we can do to start living more authentically? You know, how do we go about starting to do that? And that may be something that we can do, not so much, I don't think, as an individual reading, but it may be something that we can do as a reading for everyone listening.
Sure.
To say, what guidance might we be getting to say that this is a step away or something that we need to be considering in order to be able to live more authentically in our own lives individually, in our own lives as a community, and in our lives as part of the world.
Well, what comes to me, and we certainly consult the tools because I think they will be helpful for us. You know, I was in high tech for 25 years, living a partially authentic life. You know, it wasn't that I was completely divorced from my passions and my joys and stuff like that. But when I left, it took some time to disconnect from the patterns that had been ingrained in my life through the behaviors that I undertook, even though they weren't the right ones for me. And so there's a period of cleansing, of purification of the self that I think is important to go through when you want to start leading a more authentic life. You have to shed. You have to shed structures. You have to shed skins. You have to go through a number of little versions of death where you actually let go completely without consideration for, you know, holding on to something as you go through the transition. You know, you can't take it with you, as they say, right? So when you're trying to shed bodies that don't fit you anymore, masks that you don't want to wear anymore, you actually have to be willing to let go of more than you're comfortable with. Because what's ultimately on the other side of that is unknown. So there's a real willingness to give up and give away some things that feel like they're part of your very innermost self. They're not, as it turns out, they're not. They're just part of your ego structure that is in your way and a pain in the butt anyway. So living a more authentic life starts with shedding the things that are constricting you. And, you know, when you find that something sings to you, you know, I'm a musically oriented guy, so that I use musically oriented terminology. If it sings to you, if it makes your heart warm, if it gives you butterflies, you know, the fun kind of butterflies, the butterflies of anticipation, if when you do it, regardless of whether you're praised for or not, it feeds you energy. Those are indications that path is leading you towards your authentic self. Somebody said, joy is the message from your soul that you're doing the right thing. So if you're feeling joy, then that's another great indicator. Do you know what joy is? Many of us have been so disconnected from joy that it's hard to know what it is. And we're programmed to think of, you know, joy is a new car, you know. Joy is ticket to the Super Bowl. Joy is winning the lottery. That's not joy. Joy is something else. It's ineffable.
So I think we'll let people ponder joy for a moment.
Okay.
We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to go ahead and do, we'll consult the oracles and see what they have to say for helping us to live
right.
And
folks,
authentically.
Go ahead and call in, too, because we're here to do your personal readings as well.
Right. What's that so number? If you want to Skype in from the show page, or you can call in, the phone number 646-716-5510, and you can go ahead and use either one of those to get into the queue for having our questions answered, and we will be back in just a couple of minutes.
Coming up next, our phone lines are open. Hi-C and John are standing by to take your calls. Have your question ready and join in the fun. Skype in or call 1-646-716-5510 at Firefly Willows LIVE on Blog Talk Radio.
Back, and we left off talking about joy, and we also were asked about how we can go about living more authentically as we're being challenged to really question and look at that, especially based on some astrological aspects with Uranus square Pluto going on now through 2015. So John and I have both consulted our oracle.
On the question of living more authentic life and how to do that. The runes are offering two points. The first is the rune of the self, Manas. And, you know, when you think about the oracle at Delphi, the first inscription, the inscription over the arch, was know thyself. And we hear that term a lot, know thyself. It's tossed around. It almost sounds trite. But really, to live an authentic life, you have to know yourself. You have to take the time to get to know yourself. Now, what prevents us from knowing ourselves? It sounds like it's an obvious thing, but you know, some things that prevent you from getting to know yourself is too much television, too much time watching TV, too much time at the movies, too much time consuming media of all sorts, whether you're always listening to your iPod or whatever it is you're doing, reading magazines, looking at other people's lives, experiencing other people's expressions of their inner lives. You know, when I go hiking, when I go running out in the woods, almost everybody I pass is either talking to someone else that they're walking with, or they have music pumping through their headphones. They have an iPod or something like that. And I think to myself, they're not really here. They're somewhere else. They're either in conversation somewhere, in their mental and or collegial thought space, or they're where that musician has placed them. Sitting by yourself by the fire, walking by yourself in silence through the woods, these are places where you get to know yourself. There's no distractions. There's only you. And, you know, that can be uncomfortable for a while. You might find yourself bored. You might find the same kind of thoughts run through your head over and over. That's a period, the process of cleansing that you have to go through to get to know yourself. The other advice that the runes offer is, it's actually the rune of defense, and that might sound like it doesn't correlate, but one thing that's important is that the rune of defense counsels us to be aware of behaviors and consequences of those behaviors. So to some degree, that's the same from that Tracy Chapman song. It's not giving yourself to things that you want to be free from. Thinking about how you're applying your energies and whether they're actually bringing you home or taking you further away from your center. So the runes are suggesting know yourself and be aware of the consequences of your actions so that you don't put yourself in places where you're not, that are pulling you away from. Don't put yourself in circumstances that are pulling you away from home or your center. So that's what the runes were offering.
Well, what I got, I looked at both the Tarot and the I Ching, and the Tarot, interestingly, sometimes it amuses us because it can be very literal, gave us the Hermit card reversed. And, in some ways, the Hermit card, when it comes up reversed, indicates we're thinking about living authentically. That we have to be willing to come out of our cave, and we have to be willing to start going into or going back into the world as who we are and with whatever wisdom or experience we have received.
Or warts and discomforts.
Well, right. You know, because you come out of the cave and you're in discomfort because you have to adjust to the light.
Exactly.
Or you go on a retreat and then you come back and you have to readjust to being in the quote-unquote real world again, you know, our everyday life.
But without giving up the lessons that you learned on the retreat.
Right. Which goes to using the retreat to learn how to center ourselves to respond differently than to fall back into our old way of responding to the things happening to us in the world or in our real everyday life based on what it is that has come to us from the retreat. sometimes when hermits reversed, there is a fear of facing the dark, which means, because the hermit's very introspective, so the reversal can be fear or resistance to being willing to look into the darker or the darkest places, because we think, I'm not ready to look there, I'm not ready to go there. But ultimately, the reversal of this is like saying it's time to pull those things out into the world and bring those things that are buried away in the dark into the light in order for them to be looked at, dealt with, or healed, or jettisoned. You know, it's like burying, I would say, putting things in boxes and burying them in the emotional basement. And this is the reverse hermit, is when it's time to go down, even though there's boxes that have been there for years that you don't want to deal with because everything is just piled up and you're just, oh my God, what kind of a task am I going to have for myself? The reversal of the hermit says it's time to go down into that basement and just get cracking. Now, it doesn't mean you have to deal with every box at once, but if you start dealing with the boxes, and here I would say, go to the boxes that are in the darkest corners. Go to the oldest boxes, which are the oldest or the deepest issues first. Start working with those, and what you'll find is some of the newer stuff starts to heal or starts to process and starts to perhaps resolve itself as a result of getting to the root, to that core issue that some of those other things grew from. It's like if you have mold in the basement, well, if you get rid of the oldest boxes, the mold also goes away. You don't have to clean the mold and then deal with the boxes. You get rid of the boxes and the mold goes with it. Mm. So the things that have accumulated or developed recently may actually start, if we're to find resolution, if we're willing to go to those deeper, darker levels and say, these are the things I need to be working on. This is what I need to clear out and resolve and heal. And the I Ching that came up is hexagram number 22, which is called grace. So on the one hand, the I Ching is trying to remind us to allow ourselves moments of grace. Be gentle with ourselves. Again, don't have to figure out or fix or heal everything all at once. And you can give yourself moments of grace by saying, wow, I really took some time to look at or work through that issue. Now I can take a little time off to let it process rather than jumping right into the next issue. And, you know, allowing those moments of grace. Also be gentle with yourself. You don't have to figure it all out right away, nor do you have to figure it all out by yourself. Sometimes the hermit card will come up and it says we need to look to someone else who has the ability to help illuminate our path, to show us the next step. So instead of us stumbling around in the dark all of the time, we have to be really willing to reach out or to seek out someone that can help us with that. And the reversal, again, could be the fear or resistance to doing that because we're afraid of what somebody might think, or there's nobody that will understand what we're going through or dealing with, so who could possibly help me? But the reversal can also say a lot of what you're seeking you can find within yourself if you're just willing to look. The hexagram 22 also brings up the idea of the internal and the external reflecting each other and being in alignment. And I think that's where we see that reversed hermit card as well. It says, the things that I have, like if we went off to the cave, the wisdom experience that I have gained, now I have to take that out into the world, but I have to start readjusting and restructuring my world to be more in alignment and a better reflection of what I've come to understand or who I've developed into internally, rather than feeling as if I'm one thing inside, but my external self and my external world is something different. And it's always hard to kind of reconcile or fit in at this point. And that's where those little challenges come with the Uranus square Pluto, because saying that may mean you have to let go of some of the people that you have been hanging around with for a long time and for years, because those people don't reflect who you've become, and so you constantly feel as if you have to be somebody else when you're around them. Or your environment may need to change, whether that's your living environment, your work environment, you know, whatever it is.
Or your habits.
Well, habits, yes, but here I'm just thinking very specifically the external environment. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. So if your house is still decorated and looks like when you moved into it 10 years ago, you probably aren't the same person. And people coming in are going to see that environment if they're coming for the first time. And what they're seeing is who you were, what you liked, et cetera, 10 years ago, rather than who you are now. So now you have to struggle because they may see something and go, oh, well, this is interesting. And they have to go, well, that's not really what I do anymore. That's not really what I like anymore. You know, it's time to change those things. Because when you start changing the external, it affects the internal. So being in an environment and surrounded by something that reflects who you are internally can actually help the process to become more authentic.
Yeah, that's a kind of a feng shui kind of...
Well, yes, because feng shui, what you would be doing is you would be shifting and altering the energy in the space. You know, and whether it's the arrangement of things, whether it's the color that's there, you know, and then when you talk about habits and things, that also goes to the internal and external have to reflect the other. Because if you're trying to develop better eating habits, and yet you still keep ice cream in the freezer and chips in the pantry and all of the things that may be temptations for you that go counter to what you're trying to do in terms of your eating habits, you have to find the discipline to be more authentic. And sometimes people worry, well, if somebody comes over, I want to be able to offer them a snack. Well, then offer them a healthy snack. Right. Offer them something that reflects you and what you're doing. If they want something else, then they can go elsewhere to get it and find it. But you don't have to try to accommodate them at the risk of being inauthentic to yourself by having it around.
Yeah, I think that's very important. I mean, that's good habit hygiene, right? If you're trying to change your behavior, surround yourself with things that support that change and remove things from your environment that keep you stuck.
And the number of this hexagram, number 22, first of all, the master number because it's a repeat number. And so 2 is the number of partnership, balance. It's also, for me, it reflects like the roots. It's what's underneath the surface that nourishes and supports everything else. So from that standpoint, we can see that especially with this astrological aspect is doing, is really trying to get down to the roots, saying, are the roots still healthy? And if not, what do we need to uproot? What do we need to pull out in order to plant something new rather than to keep putting energy into trying to make something work or grow that just no longer has life or ability to do so?
And that's the fire again.
Right. That's kind of like the purging process. And a master number for me, anyway, tends to reflect this idea of a more spiritual level or taking something to a higher level or the next level. So here we can see how 2 being a number of relationship says that the things that we are in relationship with around us in our world and in our life are going to directly affect who we are at the spirit level, who we are at our core. And if those things are opposing each other or struggling to find a way to coexist successfully with each other, then trust what your core, your roots, your inner self is saying. This is what you need. This is who you are now. And be willing to make the changes in the external world rather than being too caught up in worrying about upsetting other people or other things by making those changes. Because as much as we have to look at our own responses and reactions to things, we also have to remember we're not responsible for the responses and reactions of others. So if we're constantly trying to accommodate them to avoid causing a response or reaction in them, like, I don't want to upset them, I don't want to anger them, I don't want to whatever, we have to let go of that and say, this is what I need to do to remain authentic to myself. These are the changes I need to start implementing in my life externally to bring things in alignment with where I've come to and where I'm developing into internally. And if some people aren't able to accept that, then we have to allow for that. We're not doing it to upset them. But if they get upset or can't accept that, then that's also something we have to work to simply accept ourselves. And some of those things may fall away. But that opens up the space for new relationships, whether with people or things or environments or whatever. But it opens up the space for new relationships to come in and to be forged and to develop based on who we are now rather than who we used to be.
Mm. It's important. Emptying the glass allows the glass. What is the true nature of a glass? A glass, in its intrinsic state, is empty. So if you are seeking change, if you're seeking to welcome something new into your life, one of the things you have to do is prepare to empty the glass. And empty the glass so that there's room for something new. Allow yourself to be a vessel that is emptied and then refilled.
So something I would offer to people listening can help in this process is an herbal ally, which is utilizing an herb or a plant, especially for its energy, to assist and support us in a process or something that we are doing. And think about the herb that is associated with the Hermit card. The Hermit corresponds to an herb called licorice. Now, let me remind people, this is not the black or red licorice that you go to the store to get in the candy aisle. It's actually a plant or an herb, bringing the different parts of ourself and our life into harmony. So, you know, that is a direct reflection of how licorice can help to bring our internal and our external selves into alignment with each other. So I would encourage people, if they're trying to live more authentically, but they're struggling because they're worried about if they do this or if they do that or they make this change or that change, how are the people in their life or the things in their life going to respond, react? Try bringing some licorice into your life and utilizing that energy so you can be at peace with what you recognize you need to be and you need to do. And cannot be so caught up in what other people may be thinking, responding with, reacting to, versus if you're at peace with yourself, sometimes you'll be surprised. Other people suddenly are much more at ease with whatever you're doing or whatever changes you're making because you're not exhibiting or sending off some sort of energy that is anxious or worried or stressed. But also you'll be more at peace with, well, whatever happens as a result of me being more authentic, I'm okay with, and I can accept rather than I get worried about. And the harmony of relationships, you may also find that licorice helps to bring a bit more of a harmonious aspect to the relationships in your life, simply because you'll be taking the energy in, and then you'll be walking in as well as kind of radiating out an energy of harmony, which then affects someone that comes into your sphere.
You know, I would like to spend a second on harmony. Harmony versus protection. You know, I think a lot of people feel a kind of fear. They feel unsafe. They feel like the environment out there is, frankly, it's terrifying, right? People are wondering where their next paycheck is going to come from. They're wondering about the social institutions that supposedly were going to support them, and so we have this tendency and this desire to protect ourselves, and that is a turning inward process, and that can be, you know, sometimes that's okay, and sometimes that's important, but we have to remember that we don't exist in isolation. So every time we turn inward, we're actually withdrawing our life force. We're withdrawing our attention. We're withdrawing our participation from the rest of the world, from the rest of the consciousness, sentience that's out there. And that might not be the right call. You know, the indication from the hermit reverse is that even though we might want to be in a cave because it might feel safer there, one of the things that we're called to do now is to go out into the world and sing our song so that we can begin to harmonize our environment. Now, if we all go forward with our best, most compassionate intentions out into the world, and we see the world not as a place full of danger, but as a place full of other people like us who are scared, then we start singing to one another. We start harmonizing. Fear can be transmuted into community. Remember, the people out there are just like you and me, and they are also experiencing disturbance and stress and anxiety. And it's okay, because these are anxious times. But then what do you do about it? If you protect yourself, if you raise your shields, if you hide, if you go into your shell, you're not holding anybody's hand. And that's an opportunity lost. If instead you say, well, you know, it is a little scary out there, but I'm just going to see if I can hold somebody's hand and see if they'd be willing to sing with me, if they'd be willing to harmonize with me. And I'm going to express myself, not in an aggressive way, not in a demanding way, but in an open and genuine, dare I say, authentic way, then you'd be surprised how many people are willing to sing along with you. Because now is the time. This is the moment. We're in this really cool period where anything is possible, because the old structures are dissolving. And that means that there's power, there's intention, and there's intensity sitting there waiting to be applied to something new. You don't have to have the answer to start participating in something new. You just have to show up with a smile and start singing in your song. Again, not aggressively, not beating everybody else over the head, but speaking your truth gently and holding out your hand. And I think, you know, you'll get a variety of reactions. One reaction you'll get is somebody will be like, finally, somebody I can sing with. That's like the best scenario. And they'll start joining, they'll join hands, and they'll start singing with you. Another reaction is, you'll start doing that, and people will be like, they'll be stunned. They'll be surprised, and they won't quite know how to react. And in that pause of uncertainty, that's when you reach out to them and say, all I'm doing is trying to harmonize. All I'm doing is trying to be gently myself with you. And that frees them to, and you can encourage them to try to be gently themselves with you. So you actually have the power to catalyze, create a whole chain reaction of people who step out of the pattern of behavior that they've trained into but isn't required, the self-destructive, community-destructive, planetarily destructive behaviors that we exhibit. They can stop, and you can invite them to change course. The third reaction will be one of fear and anger. That reaction is likely to be much more rare than you think. Because if you're not trying to convince someone to do something else, you're just doing what you feel is in harmony for you. defensive reactions from others are much less likely to arise. So if you just go out singing your song gently and with a smile on your face and offering an open hand, most people are not going to bite you. Most people are going to be surprised. They're going to have a quizzical look on their face, you know, like when the dog looks at you and turns his head sideways and with one ear cocked, and be like, what is going on with this person? And when you do get that occasional anger response, that's a habit response. And, you know, I've seen this happen. I've done it myself. Just keep offering them your hand in a way that is safe for you. Don't turn on them. Don't bark back. Just continue to sing your song and offer your hand. Eventually, if not you, then the next person they bump into who offers them a hand, they'll realize that they don't have to be the way they're behaving, that they can change the way they behave. So protection is going into your shell. Harmonizing is stepping out into the world and offering your best gifts without judgment and without attachment to how somebody else accepts them. And that can take you a long way. It will take all of us a long way towards creating the world that we want for tomorrow.
So there's another slightly more immediate astrological aspect going on. We're in the middle of a Mercury retrograde, which a lot of people have heard about. And I think what I'd also like to do is, one, I'll talk about that just a little bit, and then we might consult our oracles to, A, so it's a Mercury retrograde in Leo, which has to do with play and taking a break and stuff. So I'll explain a little more of it, but I think that we can look at, A, what do the oracles have to say that just helps us to navigate through a Mercury retrograde, whether it's this one or another one, because we get them about three times a year. So just having something to say, here's how you can best interact with and navigate through a Mercury retrograde. And then also we'll look perhaps more at the specific aspect of play. And
I want to definitely
whether that's during Mercury retrograde or not, but it's to say, what do the oracles have to say about how can we better bring in a sense of play and fun and joy and dance into our lives on a regular basis, because I think we often forget that.
I want to learn from whatever the oracle has to say about play, because I need a lot of lessons there.
All right.
Shall we take a break?
Yes. So we'll take a break, and then as soon as we come back, we will talk about Mercury retrograde, which we're in right now, how best to navigate through it, and how to bring in a little more play and fun into our lives on a regular basis.
If you want to reach us, you can call us at...
Well, you can Skype in through the show page, or you can call us at 646-716-5510. That's 646-716-5510. So we will be right back in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned, call in with your questions, and we'll also hear what we can do to best navigate through Mercury retrograde.
Coming up next, our phone lines are open. High C and John are standing by to take your calls. Have your question ready and join in the fun. Skype in or call 1-646-716-5510 at Firefly Willows LIVE on Blog Talk Radio.
בפנים ספר לי קצת על רגעי
Welcome back to Fire Pillows LIVE. This is our live call-in show. I'm John Carosella with my co-host, Hi C. Lutmers. So I've been talking about a mix of things this morning, but with focus on the astrological events that are sort of driving the overall behaviors. And now that we're back from break, we wanted to talk a little bit about Mercury retrograde and play. So let's hear what Heidi has to say about Mercury retrograde and how to navigate that and see what our oracles have to say.
So Mercury retrograde happens about three times a year and usually lasts maybe 2.5 to 3 weeks. This particular one started on July 14th and goes through August 8th. And Mercury retrograde generally, because Mercury is all about communication, electronics, cars, you'll often see during these particular times a little bit more issue with communication issues, whether miscommunicated, misunderstood type of communication. You may find that you tend to have electronic or car issues a little bit more during these times, or it seems to happen all of a sudden. It's like everything's going fine, and then all of a sudden during a Mercury retrograde, you know, the hard drive goes down or something like that. And, you know, generally speaking, if you think of retrograde, we think of it as an RE word. It means the planet looks like it's going backwards. So it's good to think of RE words during the period, whether it's a Mercury retrograde. I mean, all of the planets have a retrograde. And so you want to think of things like it's a good time to retreat, to reassess, to reevaluate, to research, you know, all of those kind of things. So Mercury retrograde, for example, is not a good time to finalize anything, to sign on the dotted line for things. It is a good time to research the facts and information, to get things in place, to get second opinions, to find out what you need to know. And then once you go out of Mercury retrograde, you would sign on the dotted line. And this happens to be Mercury retrograde in Leo. And that really is bringing up, with Leo, you're really... I mean, one aspect that it's bringing up, I shouldn't say this is all of it, my goodness, because Leo is all about our confidence in the world and going forth and doing things and making things happen. And so Mercury retrograde in Leo, you might want to pull back and say, am I going after what I want, or am I just kind of throwing my energy out there and hoping something will happen? You might want to do a little bit of an ego check and a motivation check during this time, because with Mercury being about communication, it's going to be about how am I communicating to myself, meaning how am I excusing, justifying, or making, finding the reason to do something, even though it's not really the right or best thing, versus being honest with ourselves and communicating, again, authentically with ourselves so that we are pursuing what it is that is truly right or truly what it is that we want.
So how does this relate to play, though?
Well, so with Leo, you also get Leo is very energetic, and Leo is all about play and dance and fun. And so with a Mercury retrograde in Leo, what you want to do is you want to take time to step back from constantly going, to take time to dance, take time to have fun, take a break just to do something for the sake of doing it, rather than there always having to be a reason or a purpose behind what it is that you're doing, or it's always towards getting to a goal or accomplishing something. And so, you know, I just want you to come home from work, turn on the music, and just start dancing around in the living room just to blow off the day, rather than coming home and saying, well, I would really like to do that, but let me just put on some music while I go and do the dishes, do the laundry, get all these other things done.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because the card that I turned over in this context was the Fool. And, you know, I got this flash in my head of the difference between doing with purpose and doing just for the fun of it. And, you know, when we do with purpose, we have some sense of our goal. We have a goal, and we believe that we have crafted a path that is going to lead us to our desired goal. When we play, we have a goal, and other than to play. And the fool says, take the leap without knowing. And to me, in a way, that's kind of like a metaphor of play. It's like, let's just go play with the world and see what happens. And maybe that's the way you channel Leo energy without having a purpose. And in particular, in Mercury retrograde, that's an appropriate way to channel Leo, right? So that you have all that energy, you have the high summer power at your disposal. But instead of trying to determine, leave space for a serendipitous gift by just engaging without purpose.
Well, and even if you think, because a lot of times people may say, well, I do things that are fun, but they're all plan. You know, mm-hmm. We plan for the vacation, mm-hmm. or we plan for what we're going to do on the weekend. And what really is trying to be emphasized here is more so that sense of spontaneity. You know, because Leo really says, look at a child as your template, as your guide, as your example. Mm-hmm. And children don't sit there and think, okay, it's Tuesday, so on Thursday I want to get together with my friends, and I think we'll play hopscotch, and I think that we'll do it at this corner of the street, and da-da-da-da-da. If it's Tuesday, they just go out and see who's out, and then they just start playing and come up with whatever it is that they decide to do in that moment. And it's not planned or thought out. It just is in the moment and spontaneous. And that's also something that, you know, if we think of the communication aspect of Mercury retrograde, then there's a sense of learning how to communicate with ourselves differently so that we don't think everything always has to be planned. Otherwise, it won't go well. Or, you know, if we have to put play on a calendar all of the time. I mean, I understand planning for a vacation, but if we have to always put on our calendar when we're going to play, then
we're not leaving enough room in our lives for the spontaneous gifts of spirit.
Well, and it takes away some of the fun because suddenly you're worried about, it's like, oh, well, I'm supposed to be at this thing at 7 o'clock and now I'm late. And so I'm trying to get there. And even though I'm supposed to have fun, I'm stressed getting there because I'm worried that I'm late. Then when I get there, it takes time to decompress, to start to try to get into it. But then we feel like we didn't get everything out of it because we lost some of the time at the beginning because we were still trying to just let go of the stress of having to come there late. And so all of a sudden, half of the fun is sat out of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Mercury retrograde, for me, Mercury is also the trickster. And so Mercury retrograde for me, said when it's in retrograde, really is bringing out more of the trickster energy. On the one hand, you have to be cautious about that. That's why it can be a very challenging time in some ways. But also it says, you know,
don't take things so seriously.
Well, exactly.
Even when they go wrong, right?
Well, that's the big thing, especially with Leo. You're learning to laugh at whatever happens. Find the humor in the situation rather than seeing everything as the end of the world.
Well, you know, and this ties back a little bit to what we were saying earlier. When I was sharing about coming out of your shell, coming out of the cave, even though it feels scary, right, the difference between trying to defend yourself or create protection around yourself by going into the cave, going into your shell versus going out in the world and singing your song. This is a perfect time to go out and sing your song because it's Mercury retrograde. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be, a polished performance. Just go play. Just go play and harvest everybody else's, you know, harvest the astrological impetus and support for spontaneous play. Because that's what's moving up there, right?
Well, right. And if you go with that energy, you'll find that your retrograde isn't so difficult to get through. Rather than everything seeming like doubly hard to get through because there's constant miscommunication, misunderstanding, etc. You know, the card that I pulled, which I think amuses me, is World Reversed. Now, on the one hand, it amuses me because the Fool card that you got is both the beginning and the end of the major arcana cycle, the first 22 cards of the deck. And so you start at the Fool, you move through the 22 cards or the 21 cards of the Major Arcana, and the World is the end of that Major Arcana cycle, and once you get there, you have completed a phase or a cycle, you step across the threshold back into the Fool.
Mm.
And the reversal can be moving out of and into that, so there's that sense of it's pointing right to the importance of the message that the Fool card holds, that it came up.
Mm-hmm.
But also the World card reversed can be the ultimate card of fear. And so we are so afraid of the unknown and stepping into that, that we don't. We become paralyzed or we stay in the known. And this is where the fun comes in, because that's where it's like, if you always think something has to have a purpose or a reason, then you aren't really having fun
right
in that moment.
Right.
And if you have the fear of the unknown, you may keep yourself, you know, it's like, going back to the example I said, it's like, well, if I came home and just turned on music and started dancing around the living room, what if I got caught up in that and ended up doing that for an hour and then I don't get the laundry done? Or then I don't get my, you know, financial stuff taken care of or whatever. We're so afraid of what might happen, forget how to just let go of, it'll be okay. And that's one of the big lessons here.
Yeah, and it will be okay. I really think that's when we stop trying to plan for things to be okay and just allow them to show up okay. You know, there's that line from the Bible. Jesus is talking about this very topic. And he says, consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet even Solomon in all his glorious raiments were never arrayed such as these. And that's not word for word, but it's as close as I can remember it. And the lilies in the field are having fun. They're basking in the sun. They're being tickled by the bees. They're enjoying the water and the breeze. Everything is working out great for them. I'm resonating with this very strongly, because I sure as heck need to start doing more of this. And you know, the World reversed. It struck me that the World upright is about arriving someplace in a way. You no doubt have a better understanding of this card from your experience. But I get the sense of, you know, it's like I've arrived at the great harvest, right? And when I saw it reversed, I thought, well, what if the World reversed is an opportunity to have the harvest come to you, you know, without being active, without an active principle, that masculine principle, I have to achieve, I have to grow and make my way. Well, this is the time for not doing that, rather just allowing yourself to receive without fear. And showing up to be in a place where you can receive, and that's not in the cave. That's out amongst your peers and out in the world.
And the Fool card, not the Fool card, the World card is often literally associated with dancing. Because dancing with joy, it's dancing because you've completed something, you know. And so the reversal of it would, I think, speak very directly to, one, we don't dance enough in our lives. And here, you can use dance literally or figuratively, but it's really just allowing ourselves to let go and move. Move with the rhythms of life. Move with the song that you hear, even if it's in your head. You know, just allow yourself to move rather than be stationary. Get moving in some way, even if it's to the beat of your own drum. And the reversal also points internal, so I would also say it's about freeing our internal self, our spirit, to dance. Allow ourselves to dance on the spiritual level. You know, are we listening to the music of the spirit? Are we allowing our spirit to have the freedom to simply move? And, you know, I'd also, you know, look at the I Ching, which brings that in, because the one that came up is hexagram number 17, which is called following. But one of the aspects of that is adaptability. And so there's that sense of, if we allow our spirit or our physical self to dance or to move, then it says we simply adapt to the rhythm or the beat that happens to be coming along, rather than trying, you know, rather than standing by the wall unless we hear the song we want to hear.
Right.
Or being so afraid to move because of what other people will think, rather than being willing to just move. It's like going out on the dance floor and just dance however you dance. And if everybody else thinks that you're, you know, a flailing fool, to bring in your card, then be a flailing fool. Don't keep yourself or stop yourself from, just because you're afraid of what might happen, what other people might think, etc. Just do it.
So this symbol, the first hexagram is the cup, right? Do you know what these are?
Well, that would go more towards like water and that kind of thing. This is a hexagram with six lines.
Right. But it's symbolic.
Because you have the thunderbolt and you have the cup.
Yeah, see, that's perfect, right? The thunderbolt and the cup is about being empty enough to receive and being willing to go out in the thunderstorm, because it's going to be fun. It's going to be a little scary, but it's going to be fun. A perfect card.
Well, right. So, like, that would be that theme. It's like, if it's raining, then just go out and dance in the rain. Don't worry about if your hair gets wet. Don't worry about if your clothes get wet.
Yeah.
Receive the gift. Just go out and dance around and play in the rain, rather than, and be spontaneous with it. You know, if you look out the window and it's raining and you're just like, I'm going to go splash in that puddle, then just go do it, you know, because you'll just start laughing. Actually, that's what rain does for me. If I'm actually in the rain, and even if I have to like be running through the rain to try to get someplace because I don't want to get too wet, you know, I inevitably start laughing.
Really?
Yeah. And so, you know, for me, being in the rain brings about laughter. But I think just letting yourself go out and splash in the literal or the figurative puddle is going to stimulate laughter and fun and silliness, which we forget to allow to be a part of our lives on a regular basis.
Wow. Yeah. For those of you who are old enough to remember, I've just recalled a Led Zeppelin song, The Fool in the Rain. It's actually a great song. I recommend it. We'll put a link up on the site for you guys to find it.
Well, and the other thing I was going to say with the I Ching card, because it's called following for the hexagram, is, you know, allowing yourself to follow your muse, which goes back to that idea of follow your own rhythm, follow your own drum beat. Don't try to fit into somebody else's. Don't wait for what you think it should be, because the one that you may be hearing you feel is too odd or out of sync with what other people are hearing. And just do it. You know, just follow that muse, follow that beat, and you'll be perfectly fine.
Well, what time do we have? How much time do we have left?
We're a little over a half hour.
Okay. I'm going to have to depart at noon.
Okay.
So I will leave you to enjoy the community. Or perhaps we'll literally have some calls. Oh, looks like we have someone called in.
It's true.
Let's give it a try.
Okay. Hi, is this a caller from 5?
It is indeed.
Why, thanks for calling in. Can you tell us what your name is and where you're calling from?
Yes, I'm Saffron, and I'm calling from the road. I apologize if I'm a little bit choppy, but I'm calling from Northern California. How are you
all
guys
right.
today?
Calling from the road? Well, I hope you're on free.
I am. It's Bluetooth, so again, sorry for the choppiness.
That's okay. Yeah, you're coming through fine. Do you have something in particular that you wanted to ask us about?
Yeah, actually, I'm about to head out on an extended vacation with a group of friends, and I was just wondering if there were any particular things that I should be paying attention to in terms of challenges or messages or whatever.
Okay.
Well, I recommend that you play. at the very least, that you take time to play. And that seems to be astrologically what this Mercury retrograde in Leo is calling us to do. And that was reinforced by the tools. What else? What's your name? Would you like to share your first name?
Saffron.
Saffron.
Yes.
Oh, excellent. That's a nice name.
Are you traveling during the Mercury retrograde period before August 8th?
I'm actually leaving shortly thereafter.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good because it means you will likely avoid some of the complications, delays, cancellations that can often come about if you travel during Mercury retrograde. So I just wanted to check and warn you about that if you're going to be traveling during this time.
It's a trip for pleasure, I guess.
Yes, it is. 100% pleasure.
Awesome. Okay, so we're gonna have High C give you some guidance first.
So the approach that I'm taking is, you said you were going to be traveling with other people, and so what I wanted to look at for you was the relationship dynamics that you're traveling with regarding people, just be aware of how you can best navigate or negotiate the personal dynamics during that time. So hopefully that's okay.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay. And, you know, so what I did is I pulled three cards, one for you, one to represent the other people you're traveling with, whether it's one or more people, it's just the other, whatever that represents, and then the dynamic between you. The card that came up for you is the reversed wheel card, which is sometimes called the Wheel of Change or the Wheel of Fortune. And the reversal says to represent being caught up in a whirlwind of activity. It's like everything is spinning, 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 and we can get very dizzy. And the reversal often says to either slow down or to not let things control. You don't have to try to make this a whirlwind trip.
Okay.
Time to just be place. And, you know, sometimes that's like, instead of trying to do all 5,000 things that are to do for sitting, maybe we just do the three or four things that really seem to stand out. Or if we planned to do something in the afternoon, but what we're doing in the morning we really get caught up in or we really are enjoying, then it's okay to not try to hurry that along just to get to the other thing because we had planned it, versus to just stay in that thing from the morning longer. And if we get to the other thing, fine. And if not, well, that'll be okay too. There's obviously something, another thing that was really resonating for us that we need to stay in to get out of it what it is that it has for us, rather than to just try to rush through and get on to the next thing, but then maybe missing out on something.
That certainly makes sense.
So is this a trip where you're trying to be like, you know, seeing 15 countries in 12 days kind of thing?
No, but I am going to three countries over almost 3 weeks, but about a week in each space, and kind of have a home base in each of those places, and then just, you know, day trips, and as well as a fair amount of lounging around.
Well, that's good. I think part of what the reverse field card is doing is supporting that approach, which is take your time, relax, because oftentimes the wheel card is about centering, and the reversal cautions us that we may not be allowing ourselves enough time to ground someplace. It's like taking the time to just be there long enough rather than rushing through it. And, you know, interestingly, the card for the other people that you'll be with is the reversed Five of Wands. And that's a card that in some ways is nice to see reversed because it can be a card upright that represents struggle or strife. So it's a sense of kind of a clash of wills, if you will. But the reversal is encouraging because there's a sense that there won't be a lot of clashes, there won't be a lot of wants and ego. And so the reversal says we won't get into a lot of ego clashes, or there won't be a lot of ego getting in the way of, you know, I want this and somebody else wants that and I refuse to consider that because this is what I wanted. So one, it's nice to see that. Two, that's also something that you really want to try to encourage and foster. So if that, and even though this is a card for the others, you also are in there because this reading ultimately is you. So it may be that you also have to, you know, it's like Gandhi said, be the change that you want to see. You may have to be the one who steps back from an ego response once in a while just to make sure that it doesn't become a clash of the titans, a clash of the egos, a clash of the wills. And ultimately, the dynamic card is the reversed moon. And so that's also nice because the moon card upright can be very much about things that are in hidden shadows. There's things being kept secret or going unspoken, which can cause problems because if somebody isn't speaking or saying something about what they want or what an issue is, other people may do something to exacerbate it without even realizing it. But the reversal encourages kind of something, but on a subtle way rather than steamroller. And it also is about a soft approach. So that's something for everyone's trip to take into consideration is soft approach and, you know, influencing by saying this might be interesting to do, but not trying to steamroll over saying I want to do this. And if not doing that, then I'm just going to stay here and pout and you can go do whatever you want. you know, so remember soft approach, remember to be gentle, both with themselves and each other. So, somebody also, if you go still on your saying, well, I shouldn't have blown up like that, but I'll apologize and then just move on rather than continue to beat myself about it.
Was that helpful?
Good. All good advice. Thank you.
Great. So, I consulted the runes and an animal oracle. The runes speak to, this is primarily for you, the runes speak to planning carefully, knowing what you're getting into, what you're heading to, and be thoughtful about your yourself, how you are going to react, how you are going to experience what you're heading into. The good news is that the room for joy showed up in this cast, so we have a great opportunity to realize a lot of positive outcome from this vacation.
And even to enjoy. You may end up enjoying the vacation.
Oh, definitely. This is going to be a great vacation. I'm pretty sure of that. As long as are thoughtful in your preparation, and this doesn't mean over planning. This just means knowing yourself and knowing the environment. And I guess in particular that means being cognizant of your traveling companions. This doesn't mean trying to manipulate them or change them so much as it means understanding who they are and how you are going to be in relationship with them during this period. And this was complemented by the animal oral reading, which was a past, present, and future, so sort of like prep card, while I'm in the vacation card and the optimal consequences of the vacation. And I share these with you as well. Your prep card is the dove, which is about serenity, about peace. So ideally, as you contemplate heading into this vacation, you're doing so with peace of mind. So frenetic frenetic preparations at the last minute, probably not optimal. Which calls you to, you know, do a little planning in terms of your own personal time and space leading up to that August date when you leave. The card that is representing the present or the period of the vacation itself is the koala. And the koala is all about empathy. Now, I can't think of a better recommendation for a group vacation than having empathy with one another. Because it's in having empathy with one another that you will actually be able to experience the best of all that the vacation and your traveling companions have to offer. If you and or your companions isolate or go into ego, that would be a non-optimal result or a non-optimal path. So it's just, you know, a lot of this is complementing what Heisi said, and in particular with the moon, feel your way into one another and allow yourself to be as visible, as transparent as possible. And the exciting thing about the future reading or you know, what's the optimal outcome of this is the rabbit, which in this deck speaks to creativity. So if you think about one of the primary sources of creativity in our lives comes from play. When we're in the space of play, we're in the space that allows the greatest amount of creativity to flow into our lives. So your vacation should be a very playful one, and if it is, you'll reap wonderful benefits when it's over.
All right, all sounds great.
So that's what yeah, we hope so.
And I think that, you know, when we was talking about empathy, I think that speaks to this idea of being willing to step back from ego.
Yes.
Because it says, I take the soft approach by taking everyone into account rather than getting caught up in just me in the situation. And whether that means you or especially the other people, sometimes we have to allow a little bit of space or leeway for the other person. But it also means that maybe we need to step away from the other person. I think sometimes people, when they travel in a group, think they have to do everything together all the time. And this may be making regular effort to have some alone time on everyone's part so that there isn't that we've been together for 24/7 for the past number of days and now it's just like I'm about to scream because I can't be around these people right now. But if you are consciously making time to have separate experiences and separate time to yourself, then it allows that wand is fire, allows that flame to go back down a little bit rather than to keep getting stoked to the point that it becomes a bonfire, which is a forest fire, which is out of control, which causes everybody to feel burned.
And how long is this vacation?
I think it's 20 days.
Oh, that'll be good. That'll be good. Have some private time.
And the other thing I was going to say was because, especially with all the cards coming up reverse that I have, the reversal of all those kind of says, if I think about the dove, which to me corresponds to the fool card that John had, to allow for the openness to spontaneity during the trip, which is what he said, you know, don't have everything planned out to the nth degree for the whole trip. But I would say the cards that you have, you can reduce a lot of the stress or struggle or strife that might come up if the basics are in place. So don't think, well, let's, when we get to this particular place, let's just see what we can find as a place to stay when we get there, versus have those things, the basics, kind of in place beforehand, but not to have what you would do during the time you're in that place overly planned out so that you start stressing that really enjoying this, but we already planned to do this. Now we have to rush over to there. And now
right.
I feel like I did everything I wanted to out of the thing I was in.
I would say that another way to say that is optimize for play so that you're not spending time on your vacation working. In other words, figuring out what hotel you're going to stay in and making sure you're where it's supposed to be and so on and so forth.
Or even literally disconnect from work itself.
Yes, certainly. You know, ideally, you could disconnect from work itself. But, you know, spend a little time on the vacation working the logistics and stuff, and as much the time that you have as possible can be devoted to play.
Yes. Now, if you want something really esoteric, the moon card is often a card associated with past lives. So this may be an opportunity for each of you that are on the trip to pay attention to how some place feels or how some place resonates with you. And if it does, where it kind of is setting off a certain, you know, setting off your spidey sense, then use that opportunity to perhaps explore it from what kind of a past life connection it may have for you, rather than just saying, well, that's interesting. I really seem to connect with that place, not exploring it deeper. So that's your esoteric homework for the vacation.
Fantastic.
The woo-woo part of the vacation.
Okay, so Saffron, anything else that you'd like us to touch on?
No, I think you guys covered it all. Thank you so much.
All right.
Great. Thanks so much for calling
Thanks for calling in.
And have a great vacation.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So we're nearing the end of the show. Is there anything that you would like to offer or add in closing for the show?
Well, I guess, you know, I like the territory we covered, even though we didn't have a lot of calls today. There was something about the trigger question from the chat room about living authentically that, and the astrological circumstances that led us through coming out of the cave, not going back into your shell, even though it's scary, coming out, play, singing songs, singing your song with others, opening your hand, choosing to play, even if it's raining. That makes me feel actually really good. I'm excited about this period, this Mercury retrograde all the way through, because it's time. It's an opportunity and a time to play in the rain and find other people out there and invite them to play in the rain. And so I like that.
And I just wanted to pull a card and a hexagram from the I Ching to say, how do we wrap this up? What's the final thing that we take from this? And the first card, you know, from the tarot that came up is the reversed Prince of Wands. And, you know, you reverse that card and it says, slow down. And how else are we going to allow ourselves to play, to be spontaneous, if we're constantly rushing to get to the end goal, if we're constantly rushing from one thing to the next? You know, if we have to immediately come home from work and then think, okay, I've got to get the laundry started so I can start dinner, and then I have to get dinner half done so I can go change the laundry, and then versus I just come home and I say, you know what, screw it, I'm just going to turn on music and dance, and if I feel hungry, I'll go make something to eat, and if I get the laundry done, great, and if not, well then, great.
And I noticed with some delight that in this particular deck, there's a lion on the card representing our astrological friend Leo.
Well, right, Leo. But the reversal takes us internally. So it says, look at the qualities and characteristics of Leo, but figure out how to internalize those and work on those within yourself rather than projecting those out into the world. And the I Ching that came up is hexagram 27, which is called the corners of the mouth. And that has to do with health and well-being, with nourishment, with providing for other people. And that is something that we can really, because I would look back to the reversal of the tarot card saying that nourishment and tending to the well-being of is something we need to be applying to ourselves. Stop being so focused on how we need to help and take care of other people at the expense of our own energy and our own selves, and to really let this be a time that we refocus our energy towards how do I support myself so that I am well-being, which means I then am able to best and most effectively help others. So hopefully that's a little something to chew on. And even though, you know, what we were doing today, even though we weren't doing readings for a specific person, whoever and whenever you hear this, whether it's now or you listen to this 3 years from now on the podcast, what you hear is a message and information you need to hear at that moment. And that's why we continue to do this, is so that the information and the message and the guidance gets out there, because who needs to hear it will hear it when they need to hear it. We would encourage you, if you have questions, to call in our next. Actually, we have a special call-in show for on-air readings next Sunday, July 29th. So we would encourage you to think about what you might need guidance on and to call in then. And it'll be myself and John, plus a special guest, Bertita Greiner, who is a transition life coach. And she does coaching specifically geared towards helping people transition out of something and into something new, whether it's a career transition, a life transition, whatever it is. So we would encourage you to call in for that, to join us for that. And then fourth Sunday of every month is always live call-in show. So we would encourage you, if you feel you have questions, need some guidance on something, to call into the show on that fourth Sunday, and we'll be happy to offer what we can based on what the oracles have to indicate to us. So thank you, John, for joining us today and being here.
And thank you all out there for listening.
And enjoy the rest of the day. Make the most of this Mercury retrograde rather than fearing it or fighting it. And we will see you. Well, we won't see you, I suppose. We will be with you next week, July 29th, for a special live call-in show. And we encourage you to both tune in and call in for that. So until then, ciao, and we will see you soon.
Thanks, all.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Firefly Willows LIVE. We hope you enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for special guest Bertita Greiner, certified transitional life coach who sits in with co-host John Carosella and Hi-C for a special edition of our LIVE on-air readings. Got a question or concern? Need some guidance in your life? Trying to make a change or transition and needing some light on the path to doing so? Call into the show to receive information and guidance from three different but connected perspectives through the tools of tarot, coaching, runes, poetry, and animal totems and medicine. This is Deb Carosella. Please join us next Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time on Firefly Willows LIVE, Blog Talk Radio.